Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 24, studying Matthew chapter 24. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. There you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, and links to our Bible study courses. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Two new resources are available at our free page. First, check out John William McGarvey's sermon on baptism. It's linked at the free page at internationalgospelhour.com and at facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. Second, listen to the 6-lesson audio series, The Beatitudes, The First Thing That Jesus Taught. You will find that series linked and freely downloadable, along with its accompanying slides, on the free page at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 24. At the end of our last broadcast, we were almost finished our overview, our outline of the chapter. We wrap up that outline and then begin our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study. In Matthew 24:36-44, Jesus introduces a different time and a different subject with these words, of that day and hour. Verse 36, Jesus said, "No one knows the time. The angels do not know, only the Father knows." Verse 37, just like it was during Noah's day, that's how it will be when the Son of Man comes. Verse 38, before the flood, they were eating, and they were drinking, they were marrying, until the day Noah went into the ark. Verse 39, they did not know until the flood came and took them away. That's what it will be like when the Son of Man comes. Verse 40, there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Verse 41, there will be two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Verse 42, watch, because you do not know when the Lord comes. Verse 43, if the master of the house knew when the thief was coming, he would have been on guard, and he would have prevented him from breaking in. Verse 44, therefore you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come when you are not expecting it. Matthew 24:45-51, who will be faithful and wise? Verse 45, who will the master allow to rule his house? Who will he trust to provide food? Verse 46, the servant that's prepared when the master comes will be doing what the master expected, and that servant will be blessed. Verse 47, the master will make him ruler over all that he has. Verse 48, but if the servant thinks the master isn't coming now, verse 49, and he begins to beat his fellow servants, eats and drinks with drunkards, verse 50, then the master will show up when he was not looking for him. And the last verse in the chapter, verse 51, and the master will punish him, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter. As we get started in our more detailed study of Matthew 24, these critical reminders. First, Matthew 24, a long 51-verse chapter, simply contains more information than we can possibly do justice to in the course of our normal studies. Second, the very unique subject matter, the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, the Lord's coming, and the end of the age, all of these things lend itself to a bewildering array of interpretations. You will find scholars who disagree with each other, noted religious television and radio speakers who disagree with each other, well-established and well-known religious bodies that disagree with each other, and you will find a world of confusion when you talk to your average people in the pew biblical student. That does not mean that everyone's wrong, but it does mean that everyone cannot be right. Third, and most important for our introductory thoughts here, Jesus, as he answered the three questions posed by his disciples, was careful to present multiple caveats, multiple warnings intertwined with his answers. The answers that Jesus gave, of course, are very important, but the repeated warnings are equally important. The appearance of multiple warnings in the course of Jesus' discourse should give us pause as we consider not just the answers that Jesus gave, but the gravity of misrepresenting anything that Jesus taught. Of course, that's true in any teaching setting in the Gospels, but it appears especially daunting in this particular context. With these thoughts in mind, consider these cautions, these caveats, both direct and indirect, that Jesus presented in this context. In Matthew 24, verse 2, Jesus asked the disciples this question, "Do you not see all these things?" The disciples, who just showed Jesus the buildings of the temple, were not blind. They certainly saw the buildings they pointed out to Jesus. Yet, Jesus asked this question as if to say, "Do you fully realize what these buildings mean? Do you fully realize what their purpose has been? And do you understand that, in the very near future, having fulfilled their purpose, they will not only no longer be necessary in God's redemptive plan, they will be thrown down?" That introduction to the topic of the temple and its place in first century Judaism prompted the disciples' questions. The three questions posed by the disciples, all spelled out in Matthew 24, verse 3, tells us that what they sought to know was not common knowledge of the day. If they already knew what Jesus was about to tell them concerning the destruction of the temple, for example, they would not have asked the questions that they did. Thus, their questions indicated an element of surprise, perhaps a touch of apprehension, about the possible meaning of Jesus' statement that they did not know was, in itself, a cautionary element in this text. If they did not know, then it was possible that the multitudes did not know, and it was possible that the religious leaders, even the scribes and the teachers of the law, did not know either. This anticipates the need for carefulness in the asking and the answering of questions related to these matters. Jesus, from the very beginning of his answers to the disciples' questions, includes multiple warning signals along the way. The first two words in his response were, "Take heed," and the rest of that sentence tells us why they were to do so, that no one deceives you. Other translations render Jesus' words as, "Be careful that no one leads you astray. Watch out that no one misleads you. Take care that you are not tricked. Watch out and do not let anyone fool you." Why all of the caution in this context? Yes, it's true that you can be misled, led astray, or deceived about even the simplest of truths. But Jesus did not introduce every new truth and every new practice with these kinds of warnings. There was a reason why the Lord included so many alerts along the way in this passage. The teachings in this context were, by their nature, that much more difficult and that much more critical to understand and to get right. And because they deal with subject matter that most Jews already had incredibly strong opinions about, for example, the city of Jerusalem, the temple, the coming Messiah, the end of the age, the future of Israel as a nation, and so forth, because of these pre-existing and interconnected themes and preconceived ideas, it was going to be very difficult to navigate the choppy waters of misguided beliefs and misdirected interpretations to get the truth across. As we continue to read quickly through the chapter, we find several more alerts along the way. The disciples need to take heed because there are many who will challenge what Jesus was about to teach. One of those challenges, some will claim to be the Christ, and in doing so, they will deceive many. False teachers will use rumors of wars as signs that their prophecies are certain to occur, thus prompting others of their alleged certainty. The same thing will happen as false prophets and false teachers point to inter-country conflicts and to natural disasters. The prevalence of these types of pseudo-proofs for pseudo-prophecies will dupe many into believing error. There will be false prophets that will rise up and deceive many. Verse 11. The disciples would have to be wary of those whose false prophecies might lead to their tribulation and to their death. Verse 9. Jesus gave clear indication of what would occur before the destruction of the temple would come. A prophetic sign from Daniel, chapter 24, verse 15. But the certainty of that sign would not prevent false Christs and false prophets from continuing to show great signs and wonders, verse 24. Their ability to do so would deceive even the elect. In Matthew 24, 26, Jesus continued to warn the disciples, "If these false prophets tell you to look here or to look there, do not believe it." Through all of these warnings, cautions, alarms, and alerts, Jesus provided enough information about timing and about signs relative to the destruction of Jerusalem that the disciples would not, should not, be taken in by the false prophets and the false teachers. As Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 starts, Jesus introduced another time and another topic, providing even more cautions in this context about those who made claims to know exactly what God was going to do. Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." In the verses immediately following, Jesus repeatedly stated in one way or another that no one knows the timing of the end. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 24. These reminders as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.